Our reading today is from the book of Daniel. We're reading from chapter 5, starting at verse 13 and going through to verse 31, which is the end of the chapter. So Daniel was brought in before the king. The king asked him, "Are you Daniel, who was exiled from Judah by my predecessor, King Nebuchadnezzar? I have heard that you have the spirit of the gods within you, and that you are filled with insight, understanding, and wisdom. My wise men and enchanters have tried to read this writing on the wall, but they cannot. I am told that you can give interpretations and solve difficult problems. If you can read these words and tell me their meaning, you will be clothed in purple robes of royal honor, and you will wear a gold chain around your neck. You will become the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Daniel answered the king, "Keep your gifts or give them to someone else, but I will tell you what the writing means. Your Majesty, the Most High God gave sovereignty, majesty, glory, and honor to your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. He made him so great that people of all races and nations and languages trembled before him in fear. He killed those he wanted to kill and spared those he wanted to spare. He honored those he wanted to honor and disgraced those he wanted to disgrace. But when his heart and mind were hardened with pride, he was brought down from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven from human society. He was given the mind of an animal, and he lived among the wild donkeys. He ate grass like a cow and was drenched with the dew of heaven, until he learned that the Most High God rules the kingdoms of the world and appoints anyone he desires to rule over them. You are his successor, O Belshazzar. And you knew all this, yet you have not humbled yourself, for you have defied the Lord of heaven. You have defied the Lord of heaven and have had these cups from his temple brought before you. You and your nobles and your wives and concubines have been drinking wine from them while praising gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, gods that can neither see nor hear nor know anything at all. But you have not honored the God who gives you the breath of life and controls your destiny. So God has sent this hand to write a message. This is the message that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parsin. This is what these words mean. Mene means numbered. God has numbered the days of your reign and has brought it to an end. Tekel means weighed. You have been weighed on the balances and have failed the test. Parson means divided. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was dressed in purple robes, a gold chain was hung around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, was killed, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62.
But before we come to these words, allow me to lead us in a short word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you because you are the God of heaven and earth. And this morning, we humble ourselves before you, so that you can teach us, you can show us who you are, and Father, you can lead us and guide us to be the people that you want us to be. And we ask this, Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you probably don't know this man, but you can do a bit of a Google search. There's a guy by the name of Harry Randall Truman. It's not the former prior president of the United States, but a different guy. but he lived at the foot of Mount St. Helens in Washington State. You see him there, behind him is the mountain. In March 1980, the volcanic mountain was showing signs of a major eruption. Randall's home was located at the south end of the foot of the mountain, right in the path of the volcanic flow. He was facing an almost certain death. Government officials came around and said, "You need to move because it's going to explode." Friends told him that his failure to leave is equal to suicide. Family members begged him to leave because he's going to die. On the 18th of May, 1980, there was this huge eruption of this mountain, and the lava flowed right in the projected path of Randall's house. On the 18th of May, 1980, Randall died because he didn't want to let go of his home. When we refuse to change, when we refuse to listen, there are dreadful consequences, isn't it? And that's what we see in Daniel chapter 5. If you were here with us last week, we heard in Daniel chapter 4 the testimony of a converted king, King Nebuchadnezzar. And it was a happy ending, wasn't it? But this week, in Daniel chapter 5, we hear the story of an unconverted king, Belshazzar. And that's a dreadful end. Have a look at your Bibles, chapter 5. Soon we realize many years have passed between chapter 4 and 5. King Nebuchadnezzar has passed away, and in his place now there is a king, King Belshazzar, his son. Verses 1 to 4, we hear a typical royal banquet, don't we? There is wild drinking, singing, and dancing. But that's not what the writer wants us to hear. As you read verses 1 to 4, you will hear the final four nails of a coffin being hammered. Verse 1, there's this overindulging banquet with 1,000 guests attending. Verse 2, Belshazzar want to show his power, the power of his gods over the gods of the nations. So he gives orders to bring down specifically the goblets of gold and silver from the temple that was brought from the temple by his father. Verse 3, the goblets are brought in and then they drink wine in them. Verse 4, not only they drank wine from these holy goblets, they drank, and as they drink, they did the most unthinkable, didn't they? They praised the gods of gold, silver, wood, stone, and iron. It's like, I don't know whether you have hammered a nail onto something. You bang, 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 and the last one, you bang it so hard, and that's what King Belshazzar has done here. He began with a tiny sin, and then he leaves the most hideous, serious sin to the end, the sin of mocking the living God. Verse 5, just as they were continuing in their mockery of God, suddenly we hear the words appearing on a wall. And the writer says it, doesn't he? Suddenly. They were not expecting anything to happen. Fingers of a human hand appears and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace so that everyone could see. And the king watched as the hand wrote. And it terrified him, right? It knocked the socks off him. because he would have known something was not right. And he was correct. We come to the end of the chapter, the last couple of verses, we are told that very night, even before the smell of wine had left their mouths, Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, was slain. And Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. At the end, it was a dreadful day. God's judgment was swift. It was so sudden. There's no turning back for Belshazzar. The demise of the Babylonian kingdom was instant. But we must ask, how did this happen? How did things get so bad for Belshazzar? What got him here? What can we learn from this unconverted king? I want to suggest three things this morning. First, he ignored the word of God, didn't he? Verses 7 to 17, if you look through. You may remember in the first few chapters of Daniel, during the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was virtually in the king's palace, always. He was appointed the head of all the wise men in the kingdom. In chapter 2 and again in chapter 4, he was constantly interpreting dreams and visions for the king, and he was constantly pointing the king to the only God. And in chapter 4, he pastorally cares for the king. He advised the king, all right, you need to acknowledge the God of heaven and repent of your sins. In other words, God's word was always available for King Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel. Now we come to chapter 5. What is obviously missing in Belshazzar's life is Daniel, the man of God. Daniel seems to have been ignored or forgotten or gotten rid of completely. And when no one was able to interpret the words on the wall, Belshazzar doesn't call for Daniel because he had probably forgotten. He does that only when his mother, the queen mother, in verses 10 to 12, when she gives a glowing appraisal for Daniel. That's the time that he brings Daniel. In other words, friends, there was no word of God for Belshazzar, because he had gotten rid of or ignored or forgotten the only way for him to receive the word of God into his life. And when God finally speaks, he's terrified. Why? Because he doesn't know what to do. And here is a lesson for us. Don't ignore the word of God. Because 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, the man of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And Paul referred to this verse at the beginning of the service from Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is alive, active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to divide the soul and the spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Do you see what we are missing when we ignore the word of God? Now, one of the things I do in my car, I've got a beautiful navigation system, so I put the address where I want to go, and then what do? I go my own way, because I know the shortcuts. I can see the traffic, and the machine can't see anything. And what does this silly woman do? It keeps on reminding me, right? Please take a U-turn. Please turn left. Please turn right. So what do? I mute her. I mute her. I don't want to hear from her until I am lost. Probably familiar for you all. We laugh, but that's what we do, don't we, with the Word of God. We ignore the Word of God. We shut the Word out of our lives until we are lost, until we are in trouble. How do we do that? We do that when we keep the Bible on our bedside table or on our devices. We carry it everywhere, but we never take time to read. We stop studying the Bible as a group. We have time to do everything else in the world, but ask them to come for a Bible study. Too busy, too tired. I'm sure you are. We stop coming to church. And when we do, we hear the sermons, but we don't listen to the Word of God. And we ignore the people who bring the Word of God to our lives. People like pastors or teachers or mentors or good Christian friends, we avoid them, we don't reply their calls, we don't reply their emails until we are in trouble. Am I correct? I know this because I have done this, and this is done to me as well. Don't do that. Don't ignore the Word of God. Don't ignore the people who bring the Word of God to your life, because it is a dreadful thing to ignore the Word of God. And the second thing that we learn from this unconverted king is that he ignored the witness of God. You see, before Daniel comes and he interprets the writing on the wall, what does he do in verses 18 to 21? He gives Belshazzar a history lesson. He reminds how great, how glorious, how splendid his father Nebuchadnezzar was, how glorious his kingdom was. Everyone feared him. But Daniel also reminds Belshazzar the origin of all this was God. Verse 18, if you look, says God gave. Verse 19, because God gave him all this. But verse 20, the mistake King Nebuchadnezzar did was he became arrogant in his heart, was hardened with pride, and he failed to acknowledge the Most High God was sovereign over the kingdoms of men. He failed to acknowledge that God has given everything to him. And as we saw last week, God pursued him. God humbled him. God literally brought him down, brought him low. God made him powerless and helpless until he acknowledged God. And when he did, God restored him, didn't he? Now, why does Daniel had to bring up all this history to Belshazzar? Verse 23, he points it out, doesn't he? You, being his son, knew all this. You have seen the glory of your father. You've seen how God humbled him when his heart became proud. You've seen the conversion, his transformation. You've been a witness to all this. Or put it another way, God has kept all this as a witness for you. But you have not humbled yourself. You ignored all the witnesses God has provided. Instead, you set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You mocked the Lord of heaven by desecrating the holy vessels. You did the most unthinkable by praising gods of gold, silver, bronze, wood, iron, and stone, which cannot see, hear, nor understand. And you ignored the God, the very God who holds your breath, the very God who holds your life in his hands and all your ways. See, friends, God has placed his witnesses in his own life, in his own house, and yet he continued to ignore, rebel, and mock God. Think about your own lives. Has God kept witnesses in your life? Could be parents who are Christian, siblings, friends, colleagues, neighbors, teachers, a church community. Could be a Christian school that you went to. Could be a Christian TV or a radio station. It could be a missionary. It could be the testimony of believers, how they became Christians. And some of us have heard this, and we have become followers of Christ because we have benefited from the witnesses that God has given into our lives. But if you are not a Christian this morning, look around. What are the witnesses God has placed in your life? Do you see them? Do you hear them? Do you listen to them? Are you hearing from them? Are you taking note of the testimony of Christians who are around you? And if you're a Christian, we should also remember that God has placed us as witnesses in other people's lives. We are the witnesses that God has placed in people's lives. So we must aim, friends, to live a genuine Christian life. We must pray for opportunities to share our testimony. We must pray and take those opportunities to share our testimony, what God has done in our lives. Because he is a God who keeps witnesses. And most of the time, we ignore the witnesses that God has given. And the third and final thing that we learn from this unconverted king is he ignores the final warning of God. Verses 24 to 29. God has given his word. God has given his witnesses. And Belshazzar has willfully ignored both. Verse 24, therefore Daniel says, God has sent his hand and wrote the inscription. Mene, mene, tekel, parsin, or upasin. God technically has three words for him, right, at the end? It's basically numbered, weighed, and divided. Numbered, weighed, and divided. God has numbered his days, he says. Your reign is brought to an end. You have been weighed on a scale and found wanting. Your kingdom is divided and given to Medes and the Persians. You see, Belshazzar ignored God. As you read these verses, you find God hasn't ignored him. God hasn't turned his eye or turned his eyes away from him. No, God has been watching. He's patient, but he doesn't tolerate sin. But what does the king do? What does the king do? Now, some people think this is the final verdict for Belshazzar. There's nothing else that he can do. But I agree with that, but I also wonder this was a final warning from God for Belshazzar. Because if God wanted to knock Belshazzar down, he could have done without any warning. He could have done instantly. But he doesn't. He gives a final warning. And what does he do? He ignores the final warning, doesn't he? He knew Daniel was telling the truth. He accepted that this was God's word. Probably he accepted this was a right judgment from God. How do we know that? Verse 29, we are told that immediately after this, The king rewards Daniel for his service as promised. With a purple robe, gold chain, he promotes Daniel as the third in the kingdom. But he does not repent. He did not acknowledge God as the sovereign God over the kingdoms of men. He had the opportunity, but he did not. The longer he had ignored the word of God, the longer he had ignored the witness of God, his heart had become harder and harder, even to the point he doesn't care. He doesn't feel the seriousness of God's judgment. He doesn't feel the seriousness of God's promise of hell. Because he's busy rewarding people. And that night, he died the way he lived, didn't he? Without God. And God gave him what he was wanting the whole life. Eternity without God. Well, perhaps that's what God is doing in your life. He is giving you warning after warning after warning. He has given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be saved. God wants us to change from our sinful ways. And as the song goes, don't wait until tomorrow because it won't wait for you. In Isaiah 55, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Daniel points out here that the God of heaven is not unfair. He is just and holy. He doesn't send people to hell willy-nilly. He gives them his word. He provides his witness. He warns them. Even he sends his son to die on their behalf. Why Ezekiel 18? God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. Rather, he is pleased when they turn from their ways and live. Now, as I was preparing this sermon, I came across a quote from a guy by the name of Stuart Olliott. And this is what he has to say. See if you can follow this one. Men and women are not lost because they are great sinners. The Lord Christ is well able to save the greatest of sinners. Nor do people go to eternal torment because the number or the frequency of their sins. There are great sinners in hell and also what people call little sinners. Men and women perish because during their lifetime, their hearts are pockets of resistance to God and they walk their own way until God's patience runs out. Stifling their conscience again and again, they arrive at the point where God has nothing more to say to them. They never humbly seek his mercy. They never approach the appointed Savior, but remain stubborn, arrogant, and self-willed. Men and women are lost through lack of abasement or humility and prostration. So this morning, let us learn from this unconverted king. Let us not ignore the word of God when it is available for us. Let us not ignore the witness of God, so graciously given by God. And let us not ignore the warning that God gives to our lives. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We recognize today's word was a hard one. a hard one to maybe stomach. But Father, we thank you. This is your word. We thank you, Lord, you are so gracious to give this word to us, even the hard ones, to remind us how gracious you are. And also to remind us, Lord, that you are a holy God who doesn't want to be mocked. And Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the witnesses that you have given for our lives. And we thank you that you kept us as witnesses in this world. So help us, Heavenly Father, as we've prayed and sung and prayed this morning. Help us to live lives that bring honor to you, that is worthy for your name. And as we do, may your love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, remain with us now and forever. Amen.